at 5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, Town Fair Tire Studios. Bob Sosi, you can hear his voice calling the Patriots games on the Patriots radio network. 98.5, the Sports Hub, your home for Patriots football. You can also hear his voice in all these NFL commercials. You get a cut of that?
As a matter of fact, right at the end of the year, the NFL productions or NFL properties sends a nice little song to all the play-by-play guys in the league. And the deeper your team goes, the more to the left of that decimal point. It's not, you know, five figures, but it's a nice supplement for sure.
Oh, look at you. All right. Well, that's nice to hear. All right. That Tennessee game was boring. And here we go into Jacksonville. As you watched, I'm sure you watched the game yesterday, and you've probably familiar with what Jacksonville's done over the course of the season. Is there anything about them that makes you think that they have a chance at Gillette against the Patriots?
Well, I think certainly there's a lot on the defensive side of the ball that makes you think they have a chance. You know, you look at the defensive line, Ngakoue is one of the lesser known, I think, stars in this league. He's a terrific athlete and terrific player. The guy who caused the fumble that Smith returned, and himself a couple of weeks ago against Tennessee, picked up a fumble, ran it back for a score. And watching him during joint practices against the Patriots back in the summer, Fred, he routinely beat guys on the offensive line for New England. So he's a very impressive athlete and a guy who can get after the quarterback. I still think back to Malik Jackson and what he did for Denver in that 2015 AFC Championship game, overshadowed by Von Miller, Calais Campbell. I mean, they have a defensive group that can get after the quarterback and force mistakes and score off those mistakes. And then you look at the quarterback positions. A.J. Boye, last year for the Houston Texans, terrific in that divisional round playoff game. And Jalen Ramsey is a guy with a lot of bravado, but for the most part has backed it up to this point in his very brief NFL career. So they have quarterbacks who can lock down a bit. It's on the other side of the ball that gives you pause, certainly when it comes to Jacksonville in particular, as well as he played on the game-sealing drive with a couple of throws down the middle. You know, Blake Bortles is not a quarterback who necessarily creates fear in the minds of opposing teams' fans and players. But that said, I mean, the New York Jets came in here with Mark Sanchez and executed the game plan brilliantly in the playoffs and won a game not too long ago.
So I'm going to take a wild guess here and speculate on what the strategy of the Patriots might be. And I'm thinking it might be fairly similar to what they did against Tennessee, is perhaps they will load up against the run and say, Bortles, can you beat us? And then to that, he will say, I cannot.
Well, I think so. And I think it's really no secret. I mean, you've heard some of the slights that have been expressed by players around the league, like Jarrell Casey, who unfortunately for the Titans got a slice of humble pie a little bit last night, because the Jacksonville Jaguars used his words as bulletin board material when he said that, you know, you put the game in the hands of Bortles and he's going to blow it, paraphrasing. And I think that's the conventional thought around NFL circles, is that, you know, Blake Bortles is not a quarterback that wins games. You just hope he doesn't lose them. And if you look at the MO, and Bert, you know, may see it a different way, but if you look at the MO of the Jaguars, it seemed to me early in the year, their strategy was, let's run the ball, win with our defense. We're not going to let Bortles make too many mistakes. We're not going to give him the chance to make many mistakes. Then around the middle of the season, it seemed like he started to play a lot better. And then the last couple of games of the regular season kind of reverted back to the ways that have plagued him throughout his career.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I mean, he played really well the first 3 weeks of December when it looked like he was taking off, and then was disappointed the last 2 weeks. Bob, one thing we've obviously been talking about a lot here over the last week has been the ESPN story. And I think a lot of what we've discussed, of course, is the negative long-term ramifications it could have on the team. Do you think in the short term, like, did you sense last week and then on Saturday night that maybe it had some sort of positive effect on the players and the group?
Yeah, but it seems to me, in my brief experience around the team now, that any time a situation arises where they have the opportunity to develop that us-against-the-world mentality, and in particular one person, the quarterback, they seem to thrive off it. And Brady last week, during the week that led up to the game, you know, a lot of people commented was very serious in his press conference and didn't even crack a smile. And I thought, you know, I had for the most part, except for the lighthearted comment he had, you know, when he was asked about the ESPN story, he came into the press conference room after the game and you know, had the look of somebody that you know, wanted to get in, get out of there, and answer the questions, and then get ready for the AFC Championship. And I think that there's that steeliness that Tom shows generally, but it seems like he sharpens it when he faces situations like this. And I certainly think his teammates responded in the same way. And, you know, Belichick does such a great job of setting the tone early. This team compartmentalizes these potential distractions, and we don't see the fractures, it seems to me, in the immediate future. And as you say, we'll see what happens down the road. And already signs are pointing to Patricia being gone. I mean, Josh still in the running for another job. Who knows with Brian Flores? And those are the things that really impact the long-term future, I think.
I turn the microphone on. When you get to a situation like this, and the Patriots are well-versed in the publicity game, you know, what other players say on the opposing team, and already Jalen Ramsey is saying, we didn't just win this game, we're going to win next week, we'll see you in the Super Bowl, and this is right after they won yesterday, and he's talking in front of the crowd. Is that enough to pique the Patriots' attention at this point in the season, or is there just enough motivation anyway?
Well, I think it's certainly a little bit of bulletin board material. You try to say it doesn't hurt, but I mean, if you're not motivated enough by the opportunity to go back to the Super Bowl and win a championship, you know, then you shouldn't be here in the first place. I know that's cliche, but you know, the Patriots will seize on it and use every little bit of it that they can. I think the thing for me that it reflects, though, is the immaturity in some ways of Jacksonville. And you think about, for example, the touchdown return, the fumble return for a touchdown by Smith yesterday, late in the second quarter. He's going into the end zone, essentially all by his lonesome, and he turns back to taunt, pointing to Steelers. So he scores the touchdown, but now you give the Steelers an opportunity on the ensuing possession to get back in the game because they take over near midfield, and they go in and score, and they put together back-to-back scores to start the third quarter, and they're back in the game. And Jacksonville talks a lot. I saw it with the Jags, watching them during the regular season. We saw it yesterday, certainly. You know, they're prone to some silly mistakes because I think of the immaturity and just their approach and the swagger with which they try to play defensively, especially. And you make mistakes like that against the Patriots on the road, in a game of this magnitude, they're hard to overcome. I also look at the game against San Francisco, and I think it might be a blueprint, too, for the Pats offensively with the way Garoppolo carved up that defense for the Jaguars for the most part with a quick release. A lot of infighting, it seemed, on the sideline in that game. So you wonder how the Jags are going to handle adversity. And I think Ramsey's comments last night kind of reflect, again, that immaturity and, you know, a situation where, you know, they've got prosperity now. How do they handle it?
All right. Finally, Bob, I saw pictures of Scott Zolak. They had the big screen on him. How long does it take him to calm down after he's been put on the big screen at Gillette?
I think you used the word boring about the game the other night, and it took about 10 minutes of game time before he calmed down. And I say boring because at one point I looked over to my right and Zoe was staring at his phone, and I think at that point he was bored too. So,
but he, you know, when he's on the big screen, at what point in the game do they put him on the big screen?
It's usually late third quarter, or you know, more so probably early fourth quarter, when the game is obviously out of hand.
He's Geno.
Yeah,
he's Geno. He's football Geno is
okay.
What he is.
So he obviously is very excited. Does it tucker him out, or does he need time to calm down?
No, I don't think I think he needs a little time to calm down. It doesn't tucker him out. I don't know if anything tuckers him out, yeah, he needs a little time to wind down. And, you know, I think the other night it just turned out to be another Patriots score and the continued futility of the Titans late in that game that eventually, calmed him a bit. But I know he's going to be revved up and ready to go on Sunday, that's for sure.
Yeah, at least until the second quarter.
You guys are talking about him. You guys are talking about him like he's a golden retriever.
Well, he kind of is.
Have you not met the man?
Yeah, he pretty much is.
Yeah,
he pretty much is.
Woo! Let's go! There's a shiny object! All right, so there's two ways that... Thank you, Bob. There's two ways... great job on Saturday night. There's two things that he does. Either he'll come in and he'll be like, which we all do most of the time. We come in and we're like, oh, like, you know, I don't want to be here. Like, traffic sucks or something. And then
we all do most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, who wants to go to work? And then when he comes in, though, and he's like that, he's like, oh, dude, I don't want to be here. And then he'll be like, all right. And then he'll kind of get it going that way.
And this
way.
Is before the show starts. This, yeah, he'll start screaming in the studio.
Up.
Yes.
So
he did this Friday, in fact.
And then, or... Yeah. he'll just go come in and go, let's go, baby, woo! And he's all over. And then Bertrand tells me that that's when he gets really tuckered out.
He'll right around noon or 12:30, he'll take the left-hand turn.
Yeah, it's like if you ate a big lunch.
Right.
He starts to get very sleepy.
Yeah.
At that point. So.
That has been a problem for other co-hosts who have worked with him.
Because Bertrand will be like, damn it, so you're going to get all tuckered out. Ugh. All right. By the way, Mark Bertrand, if you have not heard, major car accident on Saturday going to Gillette, and Jaws of Life got him out of the car. I know a lot of people communicated with him. I texted with him, and he got out of the hospital that night assume was minor injuries, and he's even talking about coming back and doing some radio this week. So we're very fortunate that Mark Bertrand got out of that accident the way he did. His car flipped several times, so that's great news. And he was in Norwood, right? Responders in Norwood, he said, were there within seconds and did a great job. So very excited that Mark's okay. Here's the.
Admit it. Toucher. It turns you on.
And Rich.
Every mother's dream.
Toucher and Rich.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Bert was showing me something. I was emailed this, but I thought Belichick had ripped something else off of his shirt. But in the. This is 617-779-0985.
It's interesting, at least.
It is interesting. So in the post-game press conference, Bill Belichick has got his the windbreaker on, and there's something missing from the upper right-hand side of it, and you can see stitching. And what would normally be there, Bert?
A logo,
a Patriots logo. So, and if you look at the picture, there is no Patriots logo, and you can see
the outline of the logo.
The outline
you can
of
see,
the,
like, the chin of the flying Elvis. And then you can see little white specks, which look like maybe it's piece of embroidering getting ripped off.
And so is there any okay, let's cover the bases. we're positive that there's, how many, is it always a Patriots, something that says Patriots?
Not always, but I think if you can look at that, if you take a close look at it and go to the Patriots website, you can see the whole press conference is there. Just pause the video, look closely at his left breastplate. Like Fred said, if you're looking at it, it's going to be your right. And you can see, if you look closely, you can see that there used to be a logo there and that there are little white specks there, which is, I'm not drawing any sort of sweeping conclusions, but in the wake of the ESPN story, and that was 10 days, 9 days?
Yeah.
8 days. 8 days before that press conference, that's at least interesting.
Because that was a Patriots logoed windbreaker at one point. And why would you remove that? That's just something to keep your eye on. And look at it yourself. Bert, tweet it out and let people look for edit them.
Nothing. I mean, and here's the thing. I subscribe to the theory that there are no mistakes with this guy.
Right.
Bill is so detailed. He understands how everything comes off. He works the media more than any coach in the NFL. He understands. This is his first post-game press conference after the ESPN story came out.
Right.
He has to know that we're going to be looking for things like that.
Yeah.
He has to know that if something like that, if he does. Now, if this is in the middle of October, none of us would have picked up on it.
Sure.
But the fact that it's right after there's a story about there being friction in the organization between him and the owner, and he's wearing a jacket with the brand literally ripped off, that. I'm not saying it means anything.
But you are saying that you're almost positive that that logo's been ripped off, and also.
And the timing is.
And the timing, and that everything that Belichick does, he does for a reason.
Right.
Let's go to Dan. Dan, go ahead.
Hey, guys. It's the same windbreaker as wearing last year at the Super Bowl.
Okay.
If you go to last year's clips, you'll see it. It's the same thing. Logo's missing.
Okay.
Same windbreaker he had last year.
Okay. At the Super Bowl? Okay.
All right. Fair enough. Well, so much for your theory, Bert.
Nah, I think Bert's right. I think Belichick is pissed and he's leaving. That's it. He's gone. I think we should leap to that conclusion.
Look, it's just something we picked up on the we didn't pick up on it when we first watched it in the post game. It was the end of the show. Felger picked up on it. It's just, it was something that was there where it's I don't believe that in these sorts of situations, he makes mistakes. Like, he's too detailed. He takes everything into account. Like, it's one of those things where you look at it, it's like, that's kind of funny. Like, look, like, this story just came out. The story was based on there being friction between you and the owner over a major football decision. And the first time that you play in a game, you come out of that game and you're aware. It's just something to keep an eye on.
Real quick, to what end? To what end? Is this a warning shot to Robert and Jonathan Kraft saying, I'm not happy? And if that's the case, either, you know, give me more control over personnel moves, or I'm not happy, I'm leaving, and there's nothing you can do about it, or give me a better contract, or, okay, he's protesting. What is the end game for that?
I mean, I think that they've got a lot to talk about after the season. But they've got, like, this isn't...
I think they already knew that.
But here's the thing. Like they knew that. Maybe this is... Look, like, this is... Bill a lot of times makes statements without saying anything.
Sure.
And I
agree with you. This could very well be one of them.
I'm not saying it is, but it's there, isn't it?
Fine. I happen to agree with you.
He knows the cameras are on. Like, he knows, like how many parkas does he have in his...
Fine. I agree with you.
In his closet in the coach's office.
Listen.
There's probably 15 of them.
He's got 100 hoodies. He's got the sleeves ripped off all of them. He's got the windbreakers. I agree with you. He's far too detail-oriented. There was a purpose behind it. What's the purpose?
A lot of people are disagreeing. They're saying that this has happened before. Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, this was David down here in Rhode Island. And I think, you know, he's just giving you guys something to talk about. You know, if I was the coach, I'd mess with your guys' heads and let you guys talk about all this crap while I'm making up a game plan to destroy the Jaguars.
So he's trying to distract us from the game?
He doesn't want the media getting involved in his game planning, and so he's decided to do this.
He's always so forthcoming on that. He wants to duck all those questions.
There is a picture on the internet that somebody tweeted to us, by the way, of him in the aftermath of the Super Bowl. I don't know which Super Bowl this is, but there's confetti coming down, where you can see a similar jacket, might be the same one, might not be, with the Patriot logo ripped off. So it's not the first time.
Okay. Someone said it was because of Reebok, which was my initial understanding, that he didn't want to have that on because of the Reebok connection.
So he would take the Patriot logo off?
I don't know. Maybe he wasn't a fan of, like, the varsity jacket. You know, he would just rip off the A on it. He didn't want people to know. He was too cool. All right. We will have the stack for you, including there was actually a funny skit on Saturday Night Live involving LeVar Ball. We have audio of a Pittsburgh fan freaking out. All of that is on the way. Here are the headlines.
Do you like talking now?
Fletcher and Rich.
Open your mouth wide.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack. Yeah.
98.5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, Patrice Bergeron, and this show present Pucks and Paddles, the first annual ping pong tournament to benefit the Boston Bruins Foundation, the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center. That's Thursday, February 15th at Royale in Boston. Bid to play doubles ping pong against your favorite Bruins player, Toucher and Rich, and others. VIP tickets are $200 and give you access to the autograph session with the team. General admission tickets are $50. For all the information to go buy tickets, go to 98.5thesportshub.com. We finally have our own website. And these VIP tickets sell out. And this is going to be a fun event to watch. Real quick. Jack, go ahead.
Hi. I was talking about the Pats in the Jags game. And I'm a little concerned how the Pats usually... These are the teams that usually beat them. The teams that can get pressure with four and that can hold up in the secondary. What do you think?
That's absolutely...
I'm sorry.
There you go, Fred. That's absolutely right. Like, that's how if you look at the teams that have been able to beat the Patriots in a playoff setting in the past, the Ravens, the Giants, they're typically able to get to the quarterback with four guys without having to send extra pressure. And look, the Jags defense has got talent all over the place. You go right on down the line, Ngakoue, Fowler, Jackson, Calais Campbell, at linebacker, Miles Jack, Telvin Smith. In the secondary, A.J. Boye, Jalen Ramsey, Barry Church, Tayshaun Gibson. It is a loaded defense. And I don't think there's any question that they're built to combat the Patriots' offense. The problem's on the other side of the ball.
Right. And now, who gets Gronkowski, you think? Who checks
it could
Gronkowski?
Wind up being Miles Jack, who is a freak athlete at linebacker, who had the knee issue, which is why he fell in the draft a couple of years ago. would they have the balls to put Jalen Ramsey on him? Because that's, like, you're making, if you take Jalen Ramsey and you stick him on Gronk, now you're saying we're taking our best player and putting him over here.
Okay.
And Ramsey's already, Ramsey's probably one of the two or three best corners in the league, and he's big. He's, legit, built like 6'2", 215. Like, he looks like he could play linebacker.
You want to take Gronk out of the game. I mean, Patriots have a lot of weapons. Brady throws the ball all over the place. But you want to take Gronk out of the game as much as you can. That's what I'd do.
I'd put Ramsey on him. My best player on him, no question about it. All right. The Steelers fans not happy. And now we're in the
How's your dad about this?
I'm going to call him. All right.
Sorry.
I talked to my dad the other day. He could not have been more upset that he answered the phone.
It was that's before the Steelers discussion.
It was. He could not have been more upset than he answered the phone.
Well, you had your father on to discuss the Steelers and the Patriots. I figured, maybe there was a
I went there for Christmas. You can just tell he's like, all right,
Fred.
You always go, mom, answer, mom, answer. All right, so here is a Steelers fan freaking out.
I'm gonna be hanging from the bathroom. Don't ask me to do nothing. This is nothing. I'm gonna kill myself.
Well, listen.
Wearing the brown jersey and everything.
I don't know. All of a sudden, it's a mentally disturbed college student. Gonna kill myself. Well, that's.
Wow. I was just gonna say, he now
seems bigger than the game.
Exits to the left there. Oh, is he? Okay. Well,
I'm not sure I've ever heard anybody so loudly contemplate suicide either.
Well, I mean, he's letting everyone know he's upset. Maybe then he'll take like 5 Tylenol and pretend that he's trying to kill himself. All right. There I was, Saturday Night Live. I celebrated my birthday on Saturday. And we got home and Saturday Night Live was on. And for
it's like a week-long celebration.
When's your birthday again?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
I'm not doing anything today.
Just to clarify.
I'd forgotten.
Okay. So, you know, I want all the accolades tomorrow.
I believe it's the 16th, right?
Yes. That's right, baby.
Correct.
That's
the 16th of January.
And, happy birthday, Fred.
And for whatever reason, I was finding Saturday Night Live very, very funny. Now, the next day when I saw the sketches, I did not find them funny, so do your own math. Mm. And here we are. This was Kenan Thompson as LeVar Ball, and I actually do think this is worth playing.
So just to be clear, you took 19-year-old LiAngelo out of college.
All right, Kenan Thompson is LeVar Ball.
So just to be clear, you took 19-year-old LiAngelo out of college and 16-year-old LaMelo out of high school to play Eastern Europe basketball. I mean, were they okay with that?
Man, they living the dream, Michael. I told them, pack up your things. We moving up. I'm taking you out of this dump called Los Angeles. And we going to Prenu Vatatis, where the forecast is always a crisp negative 2 degrees Celsius and 100% chance of freezing rain. Never dry. Never dry.
And you think the Lithuanian League is good training to play in the NBA?
Absolutely. I love the Lithuanian League. All white teammates. Nobody above 140 pounds.
Oh, man.
Vitamin deficiencies. Soft teeth. All layups. No dunks. Perfect training for the NBA. I love it. Every night, the crowd of 61 people just goes wild. Cheering and waving wooden spoons in the air.
All right, but your big baller company has been having some problems lately. I saw you got an F from the Better Business Bureau.
Man, don't you talk to me about no Better Business F rating bureau. I told my kids the F stands for phenomenal. And yes, my kids are homeschooled. Never taught it.
No, never tardy, is what he was saying right there. Yes, for some reason that struck me as everything that Saturday Night Live did on Saturday night when I watched it was very funny. The next day when I revisited some of these things, they were not funny.
Ah.
It's just one of those situations where I was in a good mood when I watched it, and then not as much the next day. All right, so Bert, we'll talk to you again on Friday, and if the show's not over, but... if you, what's the spread right now? 9.5, I believe, is the spread?
It started at 9.5, yes.
Okay, it started at 9.5. We'll see how that action goes. If you had to put a spread on it right now, what would you have it at?
I think 9.5 is about right. Like I think the Jags have an ability to, again, to get this game to the into the second half and have it be competitive. Which, look, I just don't think that their defense can be dominant. I think their defense can hold the Patriots to 20, 24 points. I just don't think they're going to be able to score enough. And that's a tribute to Matt Patricia and Bill Belichick and the job that they've done with the defensive talent they have, which is, I mean, they're loaded in the secondary, but the front seven, I think we can all agree, has been talent deficient all year, and they've found a way to fix it.
All right, can you against Tennessee, it was that old school Patriots dink and dunk, short passing and annoying crap. Will they be able to pull that off against Jacksonville?
The formula against Jacksonville all year has like one of the reasons why what Pittsburgh did was baffling was because Le'Veon Bell, and I don't know how many carries he wound up with, but it was under 20. The formula for beating Jacksonville over the course of this season has been you run the ball at them. And so this, on paper at least, should be a big Deion Lewis game.
Okay. Deion Lewis, who, by the way, I loved coming out of Pittsburgh and was mocked in this very room by Mr. John Wally.
I was mocking you. And as a matter of fact, Fred used to play video games. Back when college football had a video game, he used to be Pittsburgh specifically so he could be Deion Lewis.
I thought Deion Lewis was going to be the next Barry Sanders. I thought that they had similar builds and similar quickness.
And he replaced Shady McCoy at Pitt, and there were a lot of people who thought he was a lot like Shady McCoy.
That's right. And unfortunately, he had Wanstead that ran him 55 times a game. And ruined his legs. Yes, John.
About the Patriots, just flip it for a second. Yep. Patriots pass rush looked really good. Now, Mariota had the quad injury, wasn't as elusive as he normally would be. Jacksonville runs the football a lot, but Blake Bortles wasn't sacked a lot. I think 24, 25 times for the season. I mean, I think the pass rush, how good is the Jacksonville offensive line? Can the Patriots get a pass rush?
It's gotten a lot better. Obviously, the left tackle they have, Cam Robinson, who they took with the 34th overall pick, has been huge for them, especially because they traded for Brandon Albert before the season, and Brandon Albert decided to retire. So, look, I think you can get to him. You've got to create long yardage situations. Creating long yardage situations is about stopping Leonard Fournette. Yep. And so, I still think a lot of what they do is based around Leonard Fournette. But look, you got to give Bortles credit. In that game, there were a handful of third and longs where he was able to pick them up. He got the coaches have done a nice job with him, too. I mean, I thought the play call slash design on the throw to the fullback in the end zone on the short
and all the play actions, at the beginning of the game.
I mean, they've done a nice job. The other thing, like about Bortles, he's handled all this really well. Like, he kind of smirks at the fact that everybody thinks he sucks,
right,
which I think is to his credit to some degree, which tells me, especially because he's, like, he had the reputation coming out of Central Florida as being a guy, and having been around him a little bit, you can see this in him, like, kind of being this guy who the moment isn't too big for him. Like, I don't think he's going to come in here and you know what down his leg.
Okay.
So, I mean, it may mean nothing, but I thought like he handled the environment, the stage in Pittsburgh pretty well. And that's kind of
getting off to a really good start certainly helped that, though.
And you tie that, and you can tie that. I think you can also tie that to the attitude he's taken through the whole thing. Like, everyone's been, like, he's been a punchline. Like, in August, they benched him. Like, and everybody's, like, the whole year, the whole story has been, well, Jacksonville's really good, but what about the quarterback? And I think, like, if you watch the way he's talked about that stuff publicly, I think he's handled it tremendously well, like better than you could ever expect anyone to handle it in that sort of situation. And I think that in this sort of spot, that matters. Like, that tells me the guy's not going to get into the second quarter and just have, you know, like his mind is full of a zillion different things. You know?
All right. He did look like that way at first against Buffalo. I mean, he couldn't throw the ball.
Well, I mean, even like the LeBron thing last week, like that, like everybody took him the wrong way. He wasn't comparing himself to LeBron.
No,
no. Yeah. He was saying, well, I mean, who am I? Like, LeBron James gets criticized. People think LeBron sucks. Like, so who am I to stand up here? No. That's the way he's handled everything, which I think speaks well of him.
All right, we'll find out what Zolak's got going on, who's filling in for Bertrand. But I think Bertrand might be back later this week. We'll be right back.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, and I mentioned this before in the show. If you go to Mark Bertrand's Facebook page, Instagram page, too. And he has, he was going to the Patriots game Saturday. And I got to tell you, the Ram trucks, they got a great endorsement right there.
Hey, hell yeah.
And so he's driving down Route 1 in Norwood, and Route 1, or whatever it is, in Norwood.
Yeah.
And a car comes tearing out of a parking lot and just T-bones him. His car flips over a bunch of times, and they have to take him out with the jaws of life, and he's out of the hospital that night. So I just texted with him. I imagine, Scott, that you have
been in contact. Yeah, sure.
All right, so how is he doing?
He's sore. He's banged up, understandably so. Flipped it several times. Lady came flying, without getting into details. He'll tell the story tomorrow.
He's in tomorrow?
I don't know. He said he's going to try and come in this week. So,
okay.
You know, I just, he got released from the hospital Saturday. I think, if anything, you're in shock still. You know, still
absolutely.
He's probably still shaking at home.
Right.
But yeah, your life flashes in front of your eyes, you know, at that point. And you think, okay, I just got hit. I got to hurry up and call somebody because you're worried about the pregame. Instead, you're hanging out of your sunroof. And you're like, you know, I flipped my car 16, 17 years ago. We were down in Providence. I had black ice on I-95. Flipped it about five times, same thing. And I had to kick out the door and walked out. And then this truck was sliding on black ice, took my truck out after it again. And I went straight to work. But the cops took me there. And you're just shaking because you're in shock.
Did you do the show?
No, they sent me home. I tried to do the show, but I was visible.
Because it's like adrenaline and everything.
Oh, your adrenaline. Yeah, like, and then I told Beto, I said, you think you're sore tonight? And I talked to him Saturday night late at about 12:30. I said, wait till Tuesday, Wednesday, that 3-4 days after. Yep. You know, it's kind of like a football game. You get in those car wrecks every Sunday. You're more sore on Wednesdays and Thursdays.
That's like,
because that's kind of when it sits in.
It's like me when I'm jacking up squats.
Yeah.
Leg day.
You get all ripped up. You know, no pain, no gain.
Yeah, you know, like
day at the JCC?
Dude, I work out wherever. I work out. I tend to go to a beach to work out, and so the ladies can see what's going on, even in the winter.
Beetle escaped death Saturday night. It was a, you know, while I got Wallach texting me. Wallach's hoping he's got a new gig or something.
is Wallach next in line for that gig?
I don't think so.
I'm trying to call the game. Wallach's texting, have you heard from Mark? Have you heard from Mark?
Oh, yes. He was doing it during the game? Yeah.
No, it was doing a commercial break.
It's rather rude.
Like, okay. It's funny, Zoe told me not to bother coming in today, too.
Oh, really?
John, yeah.
What?
He sent me a text. That they asked you to come in, but you don't really need to.
Well, I'll tell you this. And you're listening to Voice of Paul Perillo, obviously. He is in here. And I'll tell you what. There's no chemistry like John and Zolak.
Right.
they are.
Right.
What do we call the show? Oil and water.
Oil and vinegar. Mike Mularkey, just fired. Just in case anyone wants to know.
Wow. Yeah. They just extended.
There it is.
Nope.
So much for the
extension.
Got rid of him. Unbelievable.
Good for him.
Dan wanted you to play the breaking news sounder.
Oh, okay. I didn't think it was worthy of that, but all right.
Yeah, really.
If you'd like to.
Mularkey didn't really know what was going on.
I'm just telling you.
The dude's lost anyway.
That makes sense, though, because we talked about earlier in the show about the fractured trust and that there was a strong relationship there. I think what happened over the weekend of their first playoff game fractured the trust between Robinson and Mularkey.
I talked to John Robinson before the game for a while. It's interesting how Josh is the front runner in Indy. There may be another opening there.
Mm.
You think Josh is going to go based on your conversations?
Well, if he's got John Robinson and
Tennessee,
you got Mariota and the running back and Delanie Walker, and go get a couple receivers and good sound defense.
If you were Patricia, you would take the Lions.
No pressure there, man.
If you were Patricia,
I'm going to Lions.
Yep.
If I'm Josh, I don't go to Indy.
I don't want that owner.
You don't want that owner.
I don't have a problem with the owner if I'm Josh, though, because like he may be crazy, but he's going to let you do your job. And exhibit A of that, like, who's harder to work with than Bill Polian? Who had a worse reputation as being difficult to work with than Bill Polian?
Sure.
And Polian lasted there for 14 years.
Mm.
Like, I don't think, like, I know he's crazy and there's the drug issue and the alcohol issue and all that different stuff, but. Like, for people who've worked there, who've gone through there, actually like working for him because he lets you do your job.
You can argue that Pagano got at least a year or two more than he probably deserved.
Yeah. Right.
Whistling.
Well, we can just chop up some Ativans and get it going. All right, so what do you guys got going today?
Oh, man, I mean, what a weekend for football.
Marathon show, Fred.
Hey, I know people are going to rip the quarterbacks other than Brady that are left, but, man, what games. That was the
best. Except for the Patriots game, which was god-awful.
Well, the other three, yeah.
Yes.
I heard our associate tell me I got bored during a game. At one time... he was talking during a play, and it was at the end where you're just filling.
Yeah, it was boring.
And I'm scrolling through some stuff on my phone.
Yeah, it's boring. Yeah.
He's giving me the hand signal like this, like, said something. You're supposed to talk. I felt so bad. I'm like, Bob, I'm so sorry. Oh, my God.
Well, because I was asked, because I saw.
Right after I told him I was bored. I'm doing a break. I didn't say it on air.
You could have said it on air. No one would have blamed you.
I mean, you could hear crickets in the back of the broadcast.
Like, yeah, it's boring. It got like really, really
even
boring.
Capella wasn't yelling in the back.
Oh, Capella's like, press the thing. You're going to talk? You're going to speak? What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Capella had Breibart up or whatever the hell it's called. Breibart up. He's just sitting there reading.
Yes.
All right.
I'll tell you what, too. Another piece of fallout here from the Mularkey move is that I think Mike Vrabel might be a head coach next year now.
I know
the Titans like him, and he's a finalist. He's one of the two finalists in Indianapolis. So if Josh winds up going to Tennessee, then Mike's got the Indianapolis job.
And then who's got the Arizona job?
Neither of those guys are in the running for
that one.
They like Shermer a lot. Shermer could wind up going to New York. If Shermer goes to New York, it could be Steve Wilks. Brian Flores, obviously somebody who interviewed well there. Are they willing to pull the trigger and do something a little unorthodox in hiring a linebackers coach who's never been a coordinator before? That'd be the question. But with Josh and Vrabel, those guys have made the cut in Indianapolis. And so the opening of the Tennessee job opens up the possibility that Josh winds up in Nashville and Mike winds up in Indy. And I also know the Titans like Vrabel. So Vrabel could wind up in Tennessee if Josh decides to take the Indianapolis job.
Yeah.
By the way, Arian's going to be spending time at Jets camp, he has said.
Yeah, tricking white paint. Hey, man, it's cool. It's cool.
All right. Yeah. So I think it's based on the combination
all
in here.
Football. It's all football. Up until Burns pregame.
You're not going to talk about political events or anything of that nature? You're not going to inform your audience about what's going on with the DACA and all these things? What? I don't know.
I know. I just put my trash out today, okay?
All right. You put your trash out on a holiday?
Yeah.
They pick it up there?
Yeah. Yep. I've got screwed on that a couple times. Then you sit there for another 2 weeks with the damn thing.
All right.
They only pick up the recycling every 2 weeks.
Well, good job, Scott. By the way, this wasn't a firing.
This was they've mutually decided to part ways.
Yeah. See, this had to be because you don't announce the extension unless he says, hey, I want out. Yeah. So we'll get you fired up for AFC Championship Week. Let's go.
All right. There we'll get you fired up. That'll do it for us. I believe we'll have a full show tomorrow unless Rich's flight is terribly delayed. That'll do it for us. Bye.